morning and welcome everyone. Live Dharma Sunday for November 24th, 2013. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Well, Thanksgiving is coming. This is the most, holiday in which I think quite commonly a lot of interfaith activity centers around. In many communities, they have interfaith observance, perhaps on Wednesday evening. I know some communities, they have it on Wednesday evening, and the location rotates to the different interfaith places in that community. When I was in Chicago, every Wednesday noontime, they had a one-hour noon service held in downtown Chicago, where many people who work downtown in noon hour stop by for this interfaith service. It was held at the same location every year, the Methodist Church hosted it, and they're located right in the busy downtown Chicago, across from the Daily Center Plaza, which has the Picasso big sculptures there, and the City Hall and county buildings are there. And it's a hustle bustle skyscraper, busy Chicago downtown. But every year we had that there. And, you know, interfaith used to be, a long time ago, interfaith meant Jewish, Protestants, and Jews. Catholics, Protestants, Jews, that's what interfaith was. But now, for the last 20 years or so, in Chicago at least, it was expanded, and all the way from Baha'i, Buddhists, Zoroastrians, Sikhs, Muslims, Native Americans, and National Conference Organization, Northern Illinois District, had very enlightened leadership, and they would host this service every year. And every year they also put out a new interfaith calendar. And every community had a month, and all the religious holidays, all the faiths were listed on this interfaith calendar. They made this calendar available to schools, educational organizations, and so forth. And, the executive director of the National Conference, it used to be called NCCJ, National Conference for Christians and Jews. This was they're over 100 years old organization. This is a major national interfaith organization. And then they changed their name because of that outdated PC type of other religion said, well, the hosting organization and this interfaith organization, they're just Christians and Jews. So they very cleverly changed NCCJ to National Conference Community and Justice Organization. And they were an organization that when anything happened in the community, such as hate crimes, or when synagogues got vandalized, or once when a hate organization, one of the members took a shot at the Northwestern University basketball coach who was black, took a shot at him on the street, and there was a big issue. All these kinds of occasions, National Conference would mobilize all the interfaith communities and we would have some kind of event or service or rally or whatever to say all the religious leaders are united, you know, and send a message to the community. And we did the same when the mayor of Chicago at that time in the 80s, Mayor Harold Washington, died of a sudden heart attack in office, mobilized and had a service downtown Chicago, and a representative from each interfaith community, you know, said a few words. It was televised and everything. This kind of work has been very good, and it has spread to other communities in the suburbs, I know, where they have interfaith Thanksgiving observance every year. So this is a very important work because many people are soured on organized religion. They talk about peace and love, but there's so much animosity and so forth between the religions. And what kind of example is that? And they have a good point. So this is a message. This interfaith observances are good messages for the religions themselves, where it's not like we have the only truth. This is the biggest challenge that the world religions are facing internally. And although, of course, in the same sense, anybody has a right to say, espouse their own beliefs, and if they do so in an extreme manner, well, they're going to exist that way. But if the majority of the world religions get together and say, hey, here's what we believe in, but we support the understanding, not only the tolerance, but the encouragement that this is a small planet, and there are a lot of different people, different religions, and they're all okay. This is absolutely necessary for world peace, and for harmony among people. And this is the greatest challenge for interfaith work in the modern world. Well, I was active, the executive director of the National Conference was, and I were good friends. We had a lot of fun together. We laughed together and got together. That kind of humor with each other is a tremendous asset when you work with other people. When we work together, eat together, of course we cry together, but laughing together is very important. Well, today's guest for giving us a Dharma glimpse is Tamu Hoyo, and she's from the LM5 group, lay minister, the fifth group that came through, and right now there's an LM6 group that's going to be finishing up next spring, and then there's an LM7 group that just started a few months ago. She lives in Pennsylvania, and Hoyo is her Dharma name. Hoyo means perfuming, so Yo, of course, is the sun, so she's a perfuming sun. Just like the sun lets off light rays, well, gave her that name for a particular personal reason, but to perfume. This is often used as a karmic analogy for karmic influence. You know, we perfume the world, we perfume others, and if you see a nice perfuming smell, it permeates someone's clothes, or if you affect and influence some other through your karmic actions, it goes with that person, the influence. It's like the perfume it smells does. And incense, sometimes the teaching is that the perfume or the smell of the incense doesn't stay right near the incense burner. As soon as you walk into a temple, if incense was burned in the altar area, it spreads to all nooks and crannies of the temple. This is a physical law of entropy. And there is a moral law of entropy that if you do something, whatever you do spreads all over. So if you smile at someone and make their day, you might not even know it, but that affects that person's day, and that person affects other person's. So you do a good deed, small good deed in your corner of the world, and it spreads all over. You don't know where it goes. That's the law. The law. And she has Tamuhoyo. She's living up to her name, if I may say so, because she's involved in the Trailblazers group, which is the lay ministers resource group and support group from the lay ministers for Bright Dawn Center, too. And indeed, very nice perfuming. So, without further ado, I'll introduce Tamuhoyo for the timer.
Thank you, Sensei, for having me this week. My Dharma glimpse will be on what happens when life shows up not the way you planned or expected. So I have a 3-year-old, and he wants a pet. Actually, he wants a dog, and instead of getting him a dog, I thought it would be nice to have goldfish. Well, unfortunately, funds are a little bit tight, so I'm not really able to spend the money on a nice big aquarium, pump, filter. Well, lo and behold, my senior in high school, one of his friends has a goldfish aquarium that she needs a new home, wants someone to adopt a goldfish. So I thought, perfect plan, perfect scenario. And I asked, is there an aquarium that comes with it? So I was told it was a 10-gallon tank. Wow, my dream come true. So my son shows up at 10:30 at night with this aquarium, and I'm thinking this is going to be just great. I'll have 2 or 3 little goldfish. I can go out and purchase, a few more silver blue goldfish and have a nice little school of shimmery lights in there. Well, my son comes in. He brings in the nice 10-gallon aquarium, pump, air filter, and guess what is also in there? 2 of the hugest goldfish I had ever seen. The goldfish were almost too big for the aquarium. Totally not what I expected. And I noticed the water was really warm, so then I'm thinking, am I going to have to go and spend money on a heater? Well, I set up the aquarium 10:30 at night. The stone kept falling in there, and the whole time I'm setting up the aquarium, I'm thinking, this is not what I had in mind. What happened to the 2 cute little goldfish? But, I finished putting up the aquarium, set them up, fill up the water to a certain level, fed them, get in the bed, speak to my mother, I tell her about the fish, and she's like, oh, you need a giant bucket and have a pond. I'm like, no, that's the last thing I need. No pond. My 3-year-old would be sitting in it every morning. And I told her, I said, only thing I need to buy is a heater. And she's like, goldfish do not need heaters. They're fine. Even if the water is cold, that is fine. And it was at that point when she said, I did not need to buy a heater. All of a sudden, I started to realize, wait a minute. Even though the goldfish in the aquarium did not show up the way I planned, my dream of having this wonderful little ecosystem under the water is not going to happen. I'll have 2 big goldfish. My little boy is going to adore them and love them. I don't have to buy a heater, so I don't have to spend any extra money. You know what? It's okay after all. It didn't show up the way I planned, but it showed up. My dream came true. It wasn't exactly in every detail, but I have it. And you know what? I just have to keep going. And so that was a little lesson for me that I learned last night, that even though life does not show up the way you want, you look at it and you think, what's there that you can be thankful for? I'm thankful for that I have a 10-gallon aquarium now, a wonderful working filter, even an airstone, and two of the most beautiful huge goldfish I have ever seen, and the look of my 3-year-old's eyes when he sees these new pets is going to be priceless. So that's okay. And the words from Reverend Koyo Sensei, they always pop up into my mind, keep going. So I'm accepting the blessing of the aquarium and the goldfish, and I'm going to keep going. And I encourage you, too, that when life does not show up exactly as you planned, readdress, stop, hit reset, take a deep breath, and look at everything that is going good for you and accept it. Change what you can change, and whatever else you can't, just take that breath, and you too, keep going. Thank you very much for having me as guest this week. Have a beautiful day.
Well, thank you very much. As I listen to this Dharma glimpse, I thought of the word flexible, and Chinese animal calendar, you know, the cycle 12 year cycle for different animals for each year, zodiac calendar. This year has been a snake, and the snake could have a lot of associations, I guess, with it. One could be flexibility. You know how snakes are so flexible, and often I, during the New Year's time, I make our New Year's card on that animal zodiac theme, trying to give a little Dharma lesson for the year, for the snake year. Often I used to say, you know, we have to be flexible, not only in our body, which is good, take up Tai Chi, yoga, and stretching exercises to be flexible with our body is important, but also with our minds, our mental flexibility. And the snakes can, you know, when a certain obstacles come around, you know, they could move around and still navigate and so forth. So they could have that kind of lesson. Snake knows how to keep going if you want to, you know, that teaching of keep going happened to me. It could be my teaching, but it's not really mine. It happened to me and got legs, and it's great when it does get legs and start to be applied to many, many things. But mental flexibility. In fact, I used to stop at a little hobby shop in Evanston, Illinois, when we were in the Midwest, and they had a big counter with all kinds of charms. People could make bracelets, or they could put it on for a little necklace. They had hundreds of charms, and some of them were of animals, frogs or, you know, turtles, monkeys, but they also had a snake. And there was one charm of a tiny snake that had a little hinge in the middle, so that it kind of was, it moved, it was flexible. And so I got into I started a little custom of every year for the service. We had a little local sangha there, and I would buy some of these charms and put it out on the service table there. And people come up, and when they're making their usual ritual, you know, making an offering. Sometimes we used to do a traditional incense offering. Other times we had all kinds of offerings, because we had a different person host the service, and we encouraged the creative flexibility and service format. We had all kinds of flour, water, stones, all kinds of different kind of offerings. But in any case, you know, I had this, these charms there, and I said, you know, help yourself to a charm for this new, one of the new services in January for the coming year. And the other story that came to mind is, you know, we lived in Skokie, Illinois, which is a suburb just west of Evanston, and it's just north of Chicago. So it joins, you know, just north of Chicago, the suburb. Suburban atmosphere. And one block away, there was a pharmacy, a drugstore. And it was a, you know, community type of place. And there was a hardware store, kitty corner. Well, and I used to patronize these places. And, my son went there, and sons went there. One of my sons, when he was in high school, he worked at the hardware store, part-time job. And but I got to know this pharmacy was bought by two pharmacists, and they took it over, and we kind of, for the 20 years that we were there, I had a nice relationship with them. I would get my prescriptions filled there, and it was very convenient, and we developed a relationship. It was very warm and friendly. You could have, you know, social talk and exchange when I went into the pharmacy there. It was a small corner shop there. And then what happened is, well, a local hardware store, kitty corner across the street at Main and Crawford, well, sometimes they can't compete with, you know, the larger Home Depots and so forth. So that was family owned. They sold it to Osco, which is a huge chain of a drugstore pharmacy chain. And so it's right kitty corner from this neighborhood pharmacy. There's no way that they're going to take over. And they knew it, so they, this as part of the, I guess, the marketing of this big Osco, they said that we will buy and pay for your prescription list, all your clients from the small place, and in fact, we'll hire you as pharmacists to work in the Osco place and so forth. Now, the two pharmacists in the neighborhood place, they were very upset. And, you know, they did what they could to kind of mobilize the community to say, you know, we don't need these big chains here. Say, we were here first and so forth, and we offered this kind of service. But it was to no avail. And, of course, they didn't necessarily want to go work there. I mean, there is a big attraction to having your own small business instead of working for, you know, big company. There are benefits both ways, but of course, but. So I remember giving one of the pharmacists there at this transition time in their life, in their careers, I gave them a prescription. Usually I brought a prescription for myself that I had to get filled there, but I brought a little prescription for them. And I used a little prescription pad, just like doctors, they write, you know, they have a pad and it has that big R with the that symbol, and it says, this is for so-and-so from the doctor, and then you got a little space for the medication. And the doctor signs at the bottom, and it's a Z. I used, just as a humorous, lighthearted way, I made a little prescription pads with blank things like this for myself. Printed up the format, and then I would fill these in and give it to people. So maybe, for example, if somebody needs a little encouragement, I might give them a prescription that says keep going or something like this. Or if they had a health problem, I might, on our visitation, just as a little sort of lighthearted encouragement, I'd write a prescription for them, say keep your strong spirit, you know, and so forth, whatever. And when I'm in a visitation or if they live far away, I'll mail it to them. And then I let them know I'm thinking about them and so forth. So I gave this one pharmacist prescription. And what I wrote on it, I said, wisdom equals mental flexibility. This was a time when there was a challenge. You don't know what life serves up. You don't know. Life doesn't go in a straight line. Our plans, our expectations, around the bend, boom. You might have big plans about how your, you know, your life wants to go. And boom, something happens. You have to be flexible in how in what happens. Sure we plan, sure we have to have expectations, but not rigid ones. Don't become victimized by them. Okay? So part of wisdom is mental flexibility. And expectations don't come the way we planned. And it's a great lesson. And he really got a charge out of that. He says, I'm going to keep this. You know? So I thought of these things. And we all have those special moments, not special, but those areas in which we get challenged. In small ways, in big ways, but they're all unexpected. And, well, it's a snake year. Sometimes I used to be into stretching a lot, you know. And it's very healthy. You need that flexibility, especially as you get older. Not so much when you're young because you're very active. But to be able to stretch around, I'm stretching right now, my torso, okay, and so forth. But mental flexibility is important, too. That's all for today's broadcast. Until next time, you keep going, and you have a very beautiful, flexible Sunday. Thank you.